Give thanks to God for this gift of music. Now, you may be asking yourselves and one another, what's going on with the green pyramids? Well, that's a good question. Today, we've entered a new season of the church year. Epiphany began with the star, which led the wise men to Jesus. And Jesus manifested his glory in signs and healings and wonders, building all the way up to the Mount of Transfiguration last week, where he revealed his glory bodily, thus marking the end of the Epiphany season. And now, coming down from that mountain, Christ sets his face towards Jerusalem, to Mount Calvary, to the cross. We have entered the season of the church year called Pre-Lent or Gesimatide. Today is Septuagesima, which is within 70 days of Easter. Next week, Sexagesima, which is within 60 days. Then Quinquagesima, which is within 50 days. And then Lent begins with Ash Wednesday, also known as Quadquagesima, which is 40 days to Easter. Now, during pre-Lent, the church contemplates and prepares herself for the discipline of Lent. Today, some churches are dressed in green pyramids like ours, and still many others have already made their switch to that Lenten violet. And this is to help their congregations think about and prepare themselves for what is coming, Lent. And that's the Lenten discipline of fasting and increased meditation upon God's word and prayer. Now, I know that the historic one-year lectionary, which we've been using for a while, since I've kind of been here, is still somewhat new to all of us. And then you throw COVID into the mix and all things are new. And I'm still learning along with you, and I just want to, I take everything I can as I learn, and I want to keep giving it to you, which to help us focus our hearts and our minds upon Christ in the lessons throughout the church year. This particular year, I decided not to switch to violence so quickly so that nobody would be shocked and confused by what would seemingly seem to be quite new to us, even though this practice is quite old. It is best, I believe, in this case, to first teach it, as I am this year, and then maybe next year restore this practice in our congregation where we'd have the pre-Lenten violet, but it wouldn't be Lent yet. But if I had all purple up here, some people might freak out. So anyhow, for additional information on this, I provided a violet-colored half sheet in your bulletin boxes, which detail the connection, the unity, and the nuances of this pre-Lent and Lenten season. I commend them to your reading. And then lastly, before we start the service, I have a quick correction to make. After last week's sermon, it was kindly brought to my attention that I received inaccurate information about the area of schools, which I mentioned at the beginning of my sermon. I apologize for relaying to you that particular account, which at the time was very truthful to me, at least as it was presented. And so I now join you, as I do every week, in the confession of our sins. Congregation stands. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The cords of Sheol entangled me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord, from his temple he heard my voice. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. You have equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing to your name. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The cords of Sheol entangled me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord, from his temple he heard my voice.
Lord, have mercy upon us, Christ, have mercy upon us, Lord, have mercy upon us.
Glory be to God on high,
and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord, heavenly King, God the Father, Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord.
Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory.
O Lord, graciously hear the prayers of your people, that we who justly suffer the consequences of our sin may be mercifully delivered by your goodness to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The appointed Old Testament reading for Septuagesima is from Exodus chapter 17. Moses writes, "All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, 'Give us water to drink.' And Moses said to them, 'Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?' But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, 'Why did you bring us up out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?' So Moses cried to the Lord, 'What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff, that which with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, also known as Sinai, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink.' And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of that place Manasseh, meaning trial and temptation, and Meribah, meaning quarrel and strife, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together our verse of the week. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." Luke 1:68. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapters 9 and 10. St. Paul writes, and this will be the basis for our sermon, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand to sing the tract.
Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter.
To thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And after agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you." So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have paid them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat?" But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first last. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess the faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Be seated for our sermon hymn 827, Hark the Voice of Jesus Calling.
Lord,
Lutheran and a Baptist get into a conversation about baptism. The Lutheran confesses that baptism saves. The Baptist replies, you're not saved by your works. The Lutheran says that baptism isn't our work, it's God's work. The Baptist points out to the Lutheran that many people who are baptized are not saved. If they are baptized and not saved, how can we say that baptism saves? It's been an ongoing debate since the Reformation. Now consider ancient Israel. Jesus delivered them all from Egypt, all of them. They all walked across the Red Sea on dry ground, and Pharaoh's soldiers were drowned. Jesus saved them all. And then what happened? That same Jesus destroyed those who did not believe. Jude chapter 1. That entire generation died in the wilderness. Only 2 out of the 2 million people actually made it into the promised land. Jesus saved them all, but not all of them stayed saved. The same can happen to us. So says Jesus and his apostles Peter and John and Paul and Jude. To be saved is to be delivered. Jesus delivers us from our enemies, sin, death, and the power of the devil. This salvation can be viewed from 3 different sides. First, we're saved by what Jesus, our Savior, has done to save us. He obeyed God's law as our substitute. Everything God commanded us to do, He did, and He did it for us. He suffered for our disobedience. He gave up His life as the perfect sacrifice for all sin. And in so doing, He took away the sin of the world. He said on the cross, "It is finished." Jesus saved us all, then and there. Second, God gives this salvation to us. We cannot fly back to Calvary 2,000 years ago to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. God has established in and for His church means of grace, that is, means by which He brings that salvation Jesus accomplished there and then to us here and now. God gives this salvation He won in the gospel that's written down in the Bible. He gives us this salvation in our baptism. He gives us this salvation in the gospel that is preached to us, in the absolution spoken to us, in the sacrament of the altar, and in the words of fellow Christians who comfort us with the gospel of the forgiveness of sins when our spirits need comfort. Third, this salvation given here and now must be received if it is to be, if we are to have it. It is received through faith alone. And this, not by your own doing, it's not your work. It is the gift of God given through word and sacrament. So 3 viewpoints of salvation. How it was won, how it's given to us here and now, and how we make it our own, or how it is made our own by the gift of faith. Now, Jesus saved our fathers in Egypt. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. That was their baptism. And they all ate the same spiritual food. They all drank the same spiritual drink from the rock, from Christ. That was their Lord's Supper. Jesus gave Himself to them through those means. He rescued them from slavery. He made them His own. They were Christians. And then what happened? What does Paul write? He writes, "Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." They were saved, but by their unbelief, all but Joshua and Caleb were destroyed. There's a popular error promoted throughout American evangelicalism. Once saved, always saved, right? You know it. Those who adopt this error deny that baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the Word of God saves. They argue that since many people who hear the gospel are baptized and who participate in the Lord's Supper, since they end up abandoning the faith and going to hell, it is obvious that these things do not save. So they claim. Right? Wrong. All of Israel is saved, but they fell from their faith. It is possible to be born again in holy baptism, be taught the Christian faith, confess it, hear the gospel and believe it, eat and drink Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, and to be on this narrow road to heaven, and then fall away from it, be lost and destroyed forever. This is why we don't take faith for granted. When it comes to our Christian faith, we set aside everything else as being of less importance and requiring less demands on our times and attention than to remain steadfast in the true Christian faith. The Apostle Paul talks about this in terms of an athlete training for competition. Specifically, he uses the examples of a runner and a boxer. The athlete who wants to win the contest must discipline his body. To win a race requires physical conditioning and physical training. It requires temperance, that is self-control. You don't eat junk food. You don't drink the beer. You don't smoke. You don't skip the daily workout. When you're running laps and your gut starts to hurt, you run faster, not slower, because you know that if you refuse to embrace the pain, you will lose. No pain, no gain. If you really want to win the contest, you will discipline your body and take control over it. And so it is with the soul. Salvation is by grace alone. Jesus wins it on Calvary. God gives it to us in the gospel and sacraments, and it is received by that gospel-given gift of faith. But that doesn't mean faith is easy. If it were easy, we could believe without the means of grace. We wouldn't need baptism. We wouldn't need church on Sunday morning. We wouldn't need a preacher to show us our sins and give us our Savior. We wouldn't need the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. If faith were easy, we could bring ourselves to faith simply by an act of our own will. But faith isn't easy. That's why we need to hear God's word purely proclaimed. We don't need to hear it taught by teachers who are devoted to false teaching. Just because it has the label Christian and it's being taught by a Christian doesn't mean that it is Christian teaching. If you want to hold on to the faith, you will care about the purity of the teaching, the doctrine you are taught, and you will turn away from false teachers. But it's not enough that the teaching and the preaching be pure. You must listen. You must take it in as a thirsty soul longing for water. Physical training is all about getting your body under control. Spiritual training is about getting your body and soul under control. Not your control. You're not in control. God's in control. But how does God exercise his control over your body and soul? How does he keep you in the Christian faith? He does so through his word and his teaching. Well, I don't have time to go to church or read the Bible at home or attend Bible class, but I do pray, Pastor. Well, good, good for you. Prayer is good. But prayer is not a means of God's grace. Prayer is asking God. That's what the word means. That's why prayer and listening to God's word always belong together. You can imagine someone coming in here in the middle of the week, you know, just praying, maybe sitting up here kneeling. Lord, I just want to hear. Tell me. Give me a. Show me. Tell me what you want me to do. I just need something. Give me. Teach me. And you can see like the Bible like strewn out in front of them, but they won't look down at it, right? They don't listen to the word, right? They're looking everywhere and everywhere else, anywhere and everywhere else, except for where God is actually speaking to them. Right? praying and listening to God's word belong together. But what about that one who prays to God but doesn't attend divine services, doesn't read the Bible, never attends Bible class, and never reads doctrinally sound devotional literature and music? Talking to God is fine, but only when it is guided by God's word. Only when you're listening to what God has to say. If God is going to be in charge of your spiritual life, you're not going to put him in charge by praying a pious prayer, by dedicating your life to him, or by surrendering to him in some kind of religious act of devotion. If God is going to be in charge of your soul, he will graciously take charge himself, and so he does through his word. Pious declarations about how you've prayed about this or that while proceeding to act according to your own will never, never mind what God says, these are not pious prayers at all. They are immoral introductions to apostasy. That means falling away. How many former Christians are there out there in the world who continue to pray and yet they've completely fallen away? Only God knows. God wants to teach you, not just when you're a child growing up, but when you're struggling to raise a family, when you're coping with the pains of old age or death, when you're facing prosperity or poverty, or when life is just a bore. God wants to teach you. The parable of the workers in the vineyard illustrates for us, those who attach themselves to the church while despising the word of God, and those who are genuinely joined to the church by sincere faith in the gospel. For those who work hard and long under the blazing heat of the sun, hearing God's word is a chore. It's hard labor for which they want to be paid and paid more and more. For those who love the gospel of Christ and desire it above all else, taking it to heart and treasuring it as the most precious possession they own, the labor they do as Christians flies by as lightly as a bird on the wing. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew 11. It takes the single-minded devotion of an athlete who is determined to win the race, to set aside allegiance to everything that distracts from, that competes with, or that would presume to falsify the gospel of Christ, to hold on to God's word with the stubbornness of a 2-year-old child. That's the faith of a child. Faith in what? In the spiritual rock that followed Israel, in the spiritual food they ate and the spiritual food they drank, the flesh and blood of the Son of Man. You cannot eat it if you are full of the food of self-righteousness. So repent, repent, repent every day. Admit to your own folly in setting your own opinions above God's truth. Admit to your failure to love as you have been loved. Toss aside all reliance on your good deeds, pious efforts, and fervent prayers. Claim nothing more than what the helpless baby claims: the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, which God himself gave you in baptism. Claim nothing but the obedience of Jesus and his blood shed on the cross for you. Name it and claim it, for it is yours. It presents you before God as righteous in his sight. We don't rely on a bogus, once saved, always saved doctrine invented by men. We can fall away just as ancient Israel fell away. We can. And that ought to terrify us, put the fear of God in you. But as long as God is talking to us in his gospel, As long as we are listening with God-given faith, as long as God is sustaining us by His Word, that's not going to happen. God will keep us in the faith, and in the end, give to us that imperishable crown of life everlasting. Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory. Amen. The announcements. Super Bowl sub sandwiches are being given today at St. Paul and Aurelia. They're LYF. You call the church office to reserve yours. Dartball correction there at 7 p.m. They'll be leaving at 6:15 down to Galva, not St. John, Storm Lake, down to Galva. There's choir this week at 6:30. I know it's not written in your bulletin. I didn't get in there in time. At 6:30, the choir is meeting on Wednesday. You see an invitation there for a Cherokee Wellness Center for our kids and youth and for their friends. Good time to get together there on February 20th. And then, not printed again in your bulletin, but this announcement, St. Paul Shaler's 17th annual pork chop dinner will be February 27th. It's a couple weeks away. It'll be from 11 to 1 p.m. There's a flyer on the bulletin board, but also on the back door, leading out into the world. All right. Those are our announcements. Daryl was sick with COVID for a while. He had to go to the hospital. He's back in the nursing home at Methodist Manor. He's doing well, as far as I am told. But COVID has come into that place. Larry had it this last week, and Janice so far doesn't have it, but she's there in the room with Larry, and so we're unable to meet with them as we usually do every single week, the pastors of our area, to meet with them every week and have a service with them. And they're kind of, you know, isolated and shut up in their rooms. So please keep them in their prayers, and if you have some time this week, give them a call, send them a card. And I know Janice's birthday is coming up, so if you forget that, you'll be on the naughty list, right? No, I think it's February 18th. Just get that tattoo. Janice's birthday. Never forget. Right? But please give them a call. They could use your love and encouragements, okay? And with that, we will turn to the prayers of the church. Congregation, please stand. Master of the vineyard, by your Holy Spirit, you have called us into your care. You have enlightened us with your gifts, with your name and holy baptism, with your absolution doled out richly and daily for all sins in your Christian church, and with the gift of your body and blood to make glad our hearts. Your grace is beyond all telling. Keep us from all grumbling, from the evil of envy, and from unbelief. Give us contentment and a firm trust in you, that whatever is right and good, you will give us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Master of the vineyard, send forth laborers into your harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And sustain those whom you have already sent. Keep your whole church mindful at all times of the gracious favor you have bestowed on us in the Beloved, that we in our vocations may serve you with faithful labor, especially as hearers of your saving word. Lord, in your mercy, Master of the vineyard, you call us by your grace to work and live in your kingdom, not as slaves, but as sons of the Most High and brothers of Christ. Work graciously by the teaching and example of fathers and mothers to preserve the faith of children and help them grow in it until life's end. Lord, in your mercy. Master of the vineyard, you have established all authority upon earth to be a blessing, not a burden. Remember those entrusted with civil authority here and in all places, and enable them to serve with wisdom and integrity. Lord, in your mercy. Master of the vineyard, graciously regard all for whom we pray, especially Jean, Carrie, Chad, John, Anna, Glenn, Heather, and Frank, for Lorraine, Larry, Janice, and Daryl. Give them contentment to take what you send them and go their way confident that whatever is right, you will give them, since you work all things together for the good of those called according to your purpose. By the gracious gift of Christ, relieve them of their sorrows. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Master of the vineyard, we are entitled to nothing and deserve only wrath, but we are bold to ask for everything by grace in Christ. Grant us repentant hearts, trusting faith in your promises and unity of confession, that all who receive your body and blood and holy communion this day may be strengthened through the forgiveness of sins for a life that abandons sin and idleness and lives in joyful service to our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
And finally, Lord God, Heavenly Father, through your holy word, you've called us into your vineyard. Send your Holy Spirit into our hearts that we may labor faithfully in your vineyard, shun sin and all offenses, obediently keep your word and do your will, putting our whole and only trust in your grace, which you have bestowed upon us so abundantly. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the singing of the offertory. Unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in my remembrance." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in my remembrance." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Of the world, have
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ keep you, preserve you in the salvation of our God until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We stand to sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to light in the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the body and blood of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For there is no other way in which this is done. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen, amen, amen. Only believe and do. is all.